day I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Today I went back to the place where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind a door. And I said, son, never fear, you have a new daddy. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. And while the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore.
Oh, my. Thank you, Brother Shaddix. And I hope that song is a testimony of your life. If Jesus saved you, and there's not a difference because of Christ, something's wrong. Thanks to Calvary, we're not the man we used to be. I think about my life as a boy before Mom and Dad got saved. Never went to church. Daddy's brothers and cousins and kin folks would come and they'd be drinking and cussing. Then Daddy and Mama got saved. And what a difference Christ made in our home. It was never the same again, thanks to Calvary. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4. Once you find your place in Hebrews chapter 4, I ask you to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God as we begin to read in verse number 12. Now, I'm going to make a comment or two just in the reading, just because I feel like I need to. The Bible says in verse number 12, Hebrews chapter 4, excuse me, for the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now in John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there the Word is capitalized. It's talking about the living Word that came down from heaven and was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's talking about Jesus Christ. Here, the word is not capitalized. The W is not capitalized in Word, and it's talking about the Word of God. It's talking about what you hold in your hand right here. It's talking about what we're reading from. And the Bible says under divine inspiration about itself that it's quick, it's alive, and it is powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. You do know you don't have any secrets from God. You do know you can't run and hide from God. There is no creature. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto His eyes, or the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now we come to the two verses I shall use as our text this morning. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, that does not mean we are without a high priest. Nor does it mean that he is uncaring and untouched, cannot be touched. To understand that, simply just leave the two noughts out. We have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Reading it the way it's written in the Bible means exactly the same thing. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is not isolated from us. He is not shut off from us. He is not too far that He does not know, and He cannot hear, and He does not care. We have a high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. And oh, thank God for verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly to that place of prayer. Come boldly to the place where we cry out to God. It's called a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. When you see mercy in the Bible, it's always talking about sinners. It's talking about our low estate. It's talking about our shortcomings, our failures, our sinfulness. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. What this passage is telling us simply is that our Savior Jesus Christ is also our great high priest. And He is the mediator between man and God. And He's at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, making intercession for us. And just as Israel would go to the priest to intercede for them in the temple, we are told to go to Jesus Christ, to go in prayer, to go asking, to go believing, to go with thanksgiving, to go in our needs and our hurts and our heartaches. And we're not just to go, we're to go boldly. We're to go with our sin and confess them. We're to go with our heartaches and our needs and tell Him about it. And there we can find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. I want to speak to you this morning for a few moments on the subject, our joys and our sorrows that reach into heaven. Heavenly Father, I need Your help now. I thank You for this passage of Scripture. This is a precious verse to children of God. We thank You that in our greatest time of need, in our greatest heartaches, in our greatest burdens, and even our greatest failures, You're there. You're waiting for a word, a cry, a call for help. You're waiting for us to ask forgiveness, to ask for mercy, You're waiting on your children to ask for your intervention and intercession for us. And oh God, may we understand that our Heavenly Father wants to help. He's ready to help. And thank God He is able to help in our time of need. Now fill me and use me and speak through me in these next few minutes. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. To the child of God, there's no more precious passage in the Word of God than Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. And I'll be honest with you, as I get older and my strength begins to fade, I realize how much more I need Him every day. And I realize what a treasure we have in this invitation to come boldly before the throne of grace that we might find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. In this auditorium this morning, there are multiplied problems, multiplied burdens, multiplied needs, more than any man could deal with, comprehend, or take care of. And yet we have a Heavenly Father who is able, and a Heavenly Father that tells us not to be bashful about coming to Him with our needs. Every now and then I'll hear someone so foolishly say, "Well, I never asked God for anything for me." Don't try to be so pious. And certainly you're not that ignorant. I ask God for me. Every day I ask God for help for me. I must be honest with you. I'm not so spiritual and without need that I just pray for you. But I pray for me too. And I'm grateful that there is a God in heaven, my Heavenly Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, my Savior, who is my High Priest, waiting to hear the slightest, the faintest, the weakest of calls for help. And He invites us to come boldly before that throne of grace. Now there are many things that happen in our lives that the city we live in, or the state we live in, or the national government and its leaders will never know about or even care about. They most probably will never be aware of our personal needs, our hunger, our housing, our physical problems, our financial problems, or our family problems. But I'm glad to tell you this morning that there is a throne in heaven that is knowledgeable and very compassionate to our every sincere need, our burdens, and our problems. Be sure you understand that what touches us touches Christ. And what hurts us as God's children hurts Christ, our great High Priest. Why, the Bible tells us plainly that He is touched by the feeling of our infirmity. And He understands, because He was in all points tempted as we are tempted. And yet He is without sin. Many times we feel isolated in our own particular situation and with our own problems. And if we'll allow ourselves, we'll get into thinking negatively, and we'll think that nobody cares about what I'm going through in my life. We'll get to thinking that nobody understands my hurts and my heartaches and my problems. Then we'll begin to bathe ourselves in self-pity. And then despondency and depression sets in. Discouragement overcomes us, and if we're not careful, we'll just give up, quit. By the way, I want you to know this morning, most people give up just one step or one day away from victory. If they could have just held out one more day, Jesus would have come. Jesus would have met them. Jesus would have answered their prayer. I want for us to take courage today, because we're not alone in our heartaches. We're not alone in our problems. We're not isolated from heaven's love and heaven's care and heaven's help. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He knows about us and he cares about us and our every heartache and our every need. The Bible says, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Let me say again, that means we have a high priest that is touched by our infirmities. He says, let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus, the one who was nailed on that old rugged cross, the one who suffered like no man has ever suffered, the one who has already gone through death, the grave, and has been raised from the dead with victory, is our Savior, our God, and our High Priest. He knows how to apply His mercy and not give us what we deserve. And He knows how to apply His grace and to give us what we do not deserve. And He asks us just to come boldly. Years ago when I was in evangelism and my youngest daughter was just a little six-year-old girl, she was trying to learn how to ride the bicycle. Diana had gone somewhere shopping, I think, and thank God she's gotten over that. But she is gone, and I was babysitting our youngest daughter while she was trying to learn to ride the bicycle. I was studying in my office at home, working on a sermon. And I heard the awfulest blood-curdle scream. And I heard the door of the house open. I heard it hit the wall. And I heard her come into the office area and swing open my door, hollering, "Daddy! Daddy! Daddy!" I thought she is dying. I said, "Kim, what's wrong?" She said, "Daddy, I was trying to ride my bicycle and I fell and I skipped my knee." And I looked down at her knee and there's a little red spot there. It wasn't even bleeding. And I said, "Well, what do you want me to do about it?" She said, "Well, you at least could kiss it." So I got down on my knee and kissed her knee, and she wiped her tears, went out the door, and I said, "Where are you going?" She said, "I'm going riding my bicycle." Now, I've told you that simple little story because she did to her daddy what our Heavenly Father is asking us to do to Him. He has given us an invitation. He's given us a pass. Whenever we have a heartache, a burden, a need, a sickness, when we need help, whether it be in the area of mercy or grace, we're to swing open heaven's door. Swing it open on our knees. Swing it open in prayer. Swing it open and go into the very throne room of God. Doesn't matter if He's dealing with a war in Iraq or Iran. Doesn't matter if there's a tornadoes over the Midwest. Doesn't matter. There's a hurricane or a typhoon beating against a nation somewhere. When His child swings open that door in prayer, God gives His attention to His child. And He has just what we need waiting for us. Whether it be in the area of mercy or the area of grace, it's the help we need for the moment. Most of God's people allow their problems to build up and conquer them instead of using the invitation God gives us to come boldly before His throne and into His presence. I just simply want you to know, as Christians, we're members of a very special family. And we have a very special invitation to come into His presence. He has left us the key that opens the door into His presence. And He's given to us His personal invitation to come boldly under the throne of grace. And I want you to know He knows and understands what you're going through. He has suffered more than we will ever suffer. He has been tempted in every way we'll ever be tempted. He understands rejection and loneliness and hurt. And above all else, He cares about you, and He has power to help us in our time of need. My message is very simple this morning. Number one, I want you to know there is a gulf that is not fixed separating us from God. There is a gulf that is not fixed. You say, what are you getting at? In Luke 16, verse 24, 25, and 26, our Lord Jesus tells us about a man who died and went to hell, a rich man. And he was crying out for someone to come and help. And Father Abraham said, but there is a gulf fixed between us and you so that we cannot go to you and you cannot come to us. You see, He wants us to know there's nothing that heaven can do for a person that's in hell. It's too late. Ah, but thank God we're not isolated or cut off from the inner circle of heaven. There is not a gulf fixed separating between God's children on earth and our God and Savior in heaven. He is there ready to help us. God sees and cares for His needy and hurty children. No matter where you are, you're not isolated from God. Joseph was not isolated from God in Egypt's dungeon. In Genesis chapter 39, we read about him being a slave in Potiphar's house. But he found favor with the Lord. He was not isolated from God. He was lied about and mistreated and put in prison. And there in prison, he was not isolated from God. God understood, God saw, and God heard his prayer. And God blessed him, even there in prison. When he was taken out of prison and was made ruler over Egypt and Egypt's finances, he was not isolated from God. I want you to know, my dear friend, God put that story in the Bible to let us know as His children, no matter where we are and what the circumstances are, God knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. He knows your heart is hurting. He knows your body is suffering. He knows you're weak. He knows you need you. He needs your help. Or you need His help. And He's waiting. He's waiting for you to throw open the door to the throne room and cry out in Jesus' name for God to intervene for you. May I say to you, the prodigal turned his back on his father and went away into the world and ended up in the hog pen, was never isolated from the father's love and concern, even when he is in the far country. And it may be that you're away from God. It may be that you're living in sin today. It may be that you're not in the will of God. You're not doing and being what you ought to be. But I'm here to tell you, we serve a God in heaven who loves you and cares about you. And He's ready to forgive you. He's ready to cleanse you if you'll just come back to the Father and cry out to the Father. He'll hear your voice. He'll forgive you and restore you and bring you back into right relationship with Him. We who are saved are members of God's own family. Just like nerves and veins that connect our little toe to our head, the love of God and the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ connects us to Christ Himself, our great High Priest. We're His kindred. We're His children. He is touched and moved by our needs and our heartaches, and He's willing to help us in our weakest cry if we'll just try, if we'll just cry out to Him. He's there for us. I'm here to tell you today, there is not a gulf fixed between you and God. If there's a barrier there, you put it there. If you're not in touch with God, it's not His fault, it's your fault. If you're a lost sinner on your way to hell, I want you to know God is as near as a cry for forgiveness and salvation. He'll hear you every time, and He'll save all who come unto Him by faith. You may be saved and a prodigal today. You've been living away from God. Your life has been scarred and marred and twisted by sin. And I want you to know, God has not abandoned you. You left Him. You went away from Him. But His love still reaches out to you. He cares about you, and He's waiting. He's waiting for that one cry from the prodigal. He's not going to meet you with and negotiate terms. But for the prodigal that says, I'm a sinner and I need to get right with God and I'm coming back to the Father, and whatever I need to do to get back in His favor, I'm willing to do it. He's there ready to reach out to you in a moment. In a moment. Second thing I want to say to you, as we have a compassionate, understanding Savior and great High Priest waiting for our cry unto Him. The only thing that's hindering Him from helping you is that you haven't cried out to Him, asking for His help. Our Lord was moved with compassion toward the multitude while He walked here on earth. In fact, in Matthew 9:36, it says, when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You say, who are these? These are the ones that He came to, but they received Him not. These are the ones that didn't love Him, but He loved them. And He was moved with compassion toward them. He saw their lost condition. And may I say, He sees you today. He sees you in your lost condition. And He loves you. But don't you know it was for you He died on that old rugged cross? Don't you know it was for you that He suffered the contradiction of sinners? Don't you know it was for you, lost soul, that He suffered shame and such suffering that human words cannot describe? Don't you know that it was for you, lost sinner, that He hung on that old rugged cross? With all the power of God upon Him, He could have called 12 legions or 10 legions of angels to destroy the world and He go free. But He opened not His mouth because He knew if He didn't die for you, you'd die and go to hell without any hope and without any mercy. He was moved with compassion as He looked at us today. In Luke chapter 8, our Lord meets a woman with an issue of blood. She'd been to all kinds of doctors and none could help her. She didn't cry out to Jesus. She just reached out and touched the garment as He passed by. And she was healed. He felt the touch. The Bible says He felt virtue go out of Him. And He stopped and said, who touched me? Well, He knew it, who it was. He knew it was the woman. He knew what her problem was. And He knew that she was immediately healed. And He stopped and asked her, who touched me? He wanted her to tell what He had done for her. He wanted people to know that He had time for her. And He has time for you. You see, He wanted her to give testimony because it would bring glory to God. He wanted her to give testimony because it would defeat the devil. He wanted her to give testimony because he knew there was coming a man with message that a little girl had died he was going to see, and he wanted this father to know that if he could heal this woman, he could raise this little girl from the dead. He wanted her testimony to be an encouragement to him. He had time for her. In Mark chapter 5, our Lord and his disciples sailed to the country of the Gadareans. And there he met a man possessed with devils, legions of devils. This man was a wild man. He lived in the tombs among the rotting bodies of the dead. He cut himself. He cried day and night. They tried to chain him, and he'd break the chains asunder. No man could tame him. And here this naked, demon-possessed, wild man comes running to Jesus. Jesus had time for him. He heard his cry. He cast the demons out of him, saved his soul, put his life back together, and said, "Go back. Go back to where you live and tell them you have a new daddy now, and a new husband, and a new son." Because Jesus heard his cry and had time for him. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus goes to Jericho, and there a poor blind beggar cries out from the roadside. He cried out, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped. He was on his way through Jericho to Jerusalem for the last time. It wasn't the mayor that cried out to him and caused him to stop. It wasn't the governor. It wasn't a king. It was just an old blind beggar sitting on the roadside. "Have mercy on me." And the Bible says Jesus stopped, turned around and saved him and gave him his sight. He heard his cry. And I'm here to tell you, don't you think you're so insignificant that God doesn't care about you and God doesn't hear about you. You're as important to him as Joseph was, or that blind beggar was, or that maniac of Gadara, or the woman with the issue of blood. He's just waiting for you to cry out to him. He'll save you this morning. He'll help you this morning. He'll heal. He'll put your life back together. He'll calm that broken heart. He'll still the storms of your life, but he's waiting for you to cry out to him. Dear soul, when Jesus had the burden of sin of the whole world upon him, he was dying on that old rugged cross. One of the thieves that was being crucified on either side of him cried out to Christ. That thief knew he needed help. He knew he was lost. He knew he was guilty. He knew he was a sinner. And he didn't know how to pray. He had never done one good thing. But the best he knew how, he cried out and said, "Lord, would you remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom?" And there Jesus is with nails through his hands and feet and a hole in his side, hanging on a cross. The burden of the sin of the world upon him. His body beaten, bruised, bleeding. And here's an old thief that said, "Lord, would you remember me?" And Jesus heard his prayer, and in the agony of suffering and shame, he turned to him and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Don't you know, my dear friend, that he'll hear you if you'll just cry out to him today? Lost sinner, you're here without God. He'll hear you. He'll save you if you'll come to him, if you'll trust him. Even though Christ has ascended back to heaven, he assures us that Christ still cares about us. He still feels our hurts. He still loves us, and he'll hear our faintest cry, we're encouraged to come boldly to that throne of grace. This invitation comes from one who has hurt in every way we can hurt. He has suffered more than we will ever suffer. And He's willing and able to help you and to help me in our time of need. He's understanding. He's patient. And He's long-suffering with us in our weaknesses and our stumbling. You know, I remember when my children were learning to walk. They didn't make it the first time they tried. They stumbled and they fell, and I'd have to pick them up over and over again. And after a period of time, they began to toddle. And you know, if as an earthly father, I'm patient and caring with my children when they're trying to learn how to walk and stumble, don't you know our Heavenly Father is patient with us when we're trying to learn how to walk for Him and live for Him? Even though we stumble, we fall, we falter. I just wanted to bring this to you and ask you, have you called on Him with your heartaches and burdens today? Have you asked Him for His help and His will lately? Hey, prodigal, have you asked Him to forgive you and restore you? Lost sinner, have you asked Him to save you? He's just a prayer away. And yet, men live and die and go to hell and never ask. They're not saved because they don't ask God to save them. People go through life with all their hurts and heartaches and burdens because they never ask for His help. We suffer tragedy and go through storms and go through needs and face heartaches alone when He is there ready to be with us and comfort us, and we never ask. I don't care what your need is or what your burden is. We have a Savior, a God, a great High Priest that says, come boldly. Come, just open the door. Walk right in. We're family. He's my Father. Jesus is my big brother, my elder brother. Walk right in. He's ready to hear. He's able to help. And lost sinner, you come to Him today as a lost sinner. And you just cry out to Him and ask Him to save you. He won't turn you away. He will hear your prayer. He will save you today. Why? He said, all who come unto Me, I'll not cast one out. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you die and go to hell, it's not because Jesus won't save you. It's because you haven't been willing to ask Him. You haven't been willing to come to Him. And if you live your life as a Christian and all your heartaches and hurts and sorrows, and you don't have Heaven's help and comfort and guidance, it's not because He's not there and willing and able. It's because you don't come to Him. You don't ask Him. I challenge you, Christian and lost sinner, come to Him today. Cry out to Him today. He's here to help us. He's here to save us. Father, thank You for this wonderful passage in the Word of God. Thank You for making